Let me pray. Heavenly Father, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, in one of my favorite movies, Back to the Future, the main character Marty, he is catapulted back in time from his home in 1985 to the 1950s, a good 30 years back. And a lot of things happen in the film, and I'm trying not to give away too much if you haven't seen it. Now near the end of the film, now Marty, against all odds, it's looking like it's possible for him to get back to the future, back for his own decade. And so he's making some preparations for how to do that. And then Marty, he thinks about his beloved friend, Doc Emmett Brown. And Marty realizes, because of course he's come from the future, okay? So he realizes that he knows something about his friend's future, something vital. And he realizes that if Doc doesn't do something about the trajectory of his life, then 1985 could end in disaster. And so Marty thinks about it, and he lovingly tries to warn Doc. But of course, not wanting to alarm him in the moment, or perhaps disrupt the entire course of history for the next 30 years, Marty, he decides that the best way to do that is for him to write a letter, for then him to open 30 years later. And so with the letter written and sealed, he slips the envelope into Doc's coat pocket that he's wearing. And he gets ready to journey back to the future. But suddenly, as they're about to part ways, Doc unexpectedly puts his hand in the pocket and he finds the letter. He finds the letter. "What's the meaning of this?" he exclaims. Marty replies, "You'll find out in 30 years. Emmett realizes what's going on. "It's about the future, isn't it?" he yells. "It's information about the future, isn't it? I warned you about this, kid. The consequences could be disastrous." Marty yells back, "Now that's a risk." And so there's a thunderstorm for Reddit drama. "That's a risk you'll have to take. Your life depends on it." For Doc, whether he follows Marty's words or not could mean the difference between life and death. And it's a big tension that carries on throughout the rest of the film. Will Doc heed these words or will he not? Well, this morning we are exploring Proverbs chapter 4. And what we find in this chapter is that we become a bit like a child who has just been given some priceless parental advice. We too have been given vital information about the future, about our future, about the trajectory of our lives. And so the question for us is, what will we do with this information? According to this chapter, we would do well to follow it. Three times in this chapter, we get the refrain, "Listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Listen, my son, accept what I say. My son, pay attention to what I say." The voice of this proverbial father wants us to recognize how important this message is for the direction of our lives. He says in verse 13, "Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life." Marty's plea with Doc was, "Your life depends on it." And Proverbs 4 is the same plea for us. Listen to this, your life depends on it. Will we heed these words or will we ignore them? Well, with our expectation heightened now, the rest of the chapter then unpacks what these words actually are, what this vital information about our future is. Well, first we learn what we must do, then we learn why we must do it, and then we learn how we can do it. So what must we do? Well, verse 23, the first half of verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart. And if you're looking for a verse to memorize this week, it is verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart. So what is the heart? Well, in the Bible, we might think of heart as sort of, you know, obviously the physical organ. Maybe it's sort of more like emotional things, perhaps. Well, in the Bible, the heart is it signifies far more than simply our physical organ or where our emotions might come from. The heart is more like the control center of our whole self. Just as our physical heart, it pumps blood around to our extremities, our fingers, our toes, our ears. I think that goes to our ears. Anyway, basically our whole body. Well, biblically speaking then, the heart is the control center which houses our deepest commitments, our hopes, our longings, our loves. The heart controls our feelings, our thinking, our behavior, our habits, basically everything. And because it is so central, because it is so vital to who we are, Proverbs 23 says, above all else, we need to guard our heart. We need to keep it safe, protect it, secure it at all costs. I remember years ago needing to collect a bank check from one bank and then walk around the corner and deposit it in another bank. Now, if you don't know what checks are, ask your parents or ask your grandparents, maybe. Anyway, so as I was carrying it, it dawned on me that this one flimsy piece of paper was worth $35,000. Now, some of you, that might be pocket change, but for me, that was an awful lot of money, and I'd never carried that much money before in my life. And boy, was I terrified about letting something foolish happen to that piece of paper. And so, I came prepared. I put it in a plastic pocket, and then I folded up that plastic pocket. I put it into a hardcover book, and then I slipped the hardcover book into my bag, and I zipped my bag closed. I put it on my back, and then I walked very carefully around the corner. And thankfully, it was safe. It survived. It got to where it needed to get to. Well, why is our heart that valuable? Why must we guard and protect our heart? Well, the second half of verse 23, it tells us why. Above all else, guard your heart. Why? For everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. The stakes are high, aren't they? And as we're looking at Old Testament passages, it's always a great exercise to do to go just pause for a moment and say, okay, before we start making conclusions, let's see if the New Testament or the teaching of Jesus or what his death and resurrection means for us, do any of those things impact how we understand the instructions of the Old Testament? And what we find is when we turn to the New Testament, we find that Jesus' teaching actually affirms the centrality of the heart as well. For example, he says in Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So it's the same idea. Everything flows through our heart, and what is in our heart makes its way out. And in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus amplifies the importance of guarding our hearts. He warns us to be mindful of what kind of treasure we are filling our hearts with. He's talking about, is it God or is it money? What kind of treasure are we filling our hearts with? And he even says that entertaining thoughts towards others, like maybe lust or anger, these can be the equivalent of committing adultery and murder in our heart. Our heart is vital in Jesus' eyes. And so Proverbs 4:23 is a word for you and I as well. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. American pastor Craig Rochelle says it like this: our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. What we think will shape what we become or who we become. See, what it means is that over time, our persistent thoughts and our actions, it will shape and it will mould our hearts. And in turn, the state of our heart then directs our steps and it determines the course of our life. And this is really important to hold on to, because our lives can change a lot. I mean, sometimes it might be through some big thing that happens in our life, but often it can be just through some 10,000 little tiny decisions. And it can affect us often without even realizing it. I suspect some of us know people, and for those who have adult children, maybe you can relate to this for members of your own family. I suspect some of us know people who once upon a time, they were in all appearances a genuine Christian, actively involved with church, they were part of a growth group, they were praying, they were reading their Bible, maybe they were happily married, they were raising their children well. Then one way or another, somehow, perhaps the pressures of work, the desire to climb the corporate ladder, or the busyness of driving the kids to sports here, there, and everywhere. At some point, they step aside from growth group. They stop meeting with God's people regularly at church. They stop talking to others about their faith. They're not praying anymore. They're not reading the Bible anymore. They're not reinforcing their faith by meeting with brothers and sisters in Christ. And gradually, money or prestige or hobbies or other things become more and more important. And besides, there's a lovely, young, attractive person at my work or at the gym who understands me so much better than my spouse does. And 5 or 10 years down the road, they wake up next to someone that they shouldn't be next to. They stand up, they look at themselves in the mirror, and they say, you know what? I never believed any of that religious rubbish anyway. How did they get there? How did they get there? You know, I suspect that it was no major crisis or turning point. No big theological wrestlings with the implications of the gospel. It was just a whole bunch of little decisions of the heart. Too many of them selfish. Not one of them very significant, but all of them together, sad and ultimately tragic. The condition of our heart determines who we become. And this is why, above all else, we must guard our heart, for everything we do flows from it. So how can we guard our heart? How can we do it? It seems like a pretty tough thing to do. Well, according to Proverbs, the condition of our heart is gradually shaped by lots of things. It can be shaped by the words we say, the things we look at, what consumes our mind, and the actions we take, the habits we form. And if that's the case then, well then the way that we guard, the way that we protect our heart, our innermost being, the way we protect these things is by guarding the words that we say, by guarding the things that we look at, by guarding what consumes our mind, what we guard, what actions we take, and the habits that we form. And thankfully, this is what the four final verses of our chapter say. We guard our heart by guarding our speech. Verse 24, keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. This verse is a plea to flee from lies and unwholesome talk. We need to be people of honest mouths. We need to be honest with our words. Studies estimate that the average person lies 10 times a day. If you lie less than that, then chances are other people are lying far more. Are you someone who lies on a regular basis? Are you someone who is loose with the truth? Have a think about what that habit is going to do to your heart and to the trajectory of your life. Maybe you're someone who loves to gossip. You know, you're always like, oh, tell me the latest goss. Oh, no, I shouldn't. Oh, do tell me. Come on. Tell me about that person. Are you someone who loves gossip? The Proverbs actually warns, across the whole of Proverbs, warns a lot about the harm of gossip. So if you are someone who enjoys hearing gossip, or even worse, sharing it, next time you hear something about someone, ask yourself, if the person that this rumor is about were to hear this for themselves, would that be encouraging to them? Would that build them up? Is this going to improve their life? Because if the answer is no, then close your mouth and call it out when you hear it. Let's not be in the demolition industry for people's reputations. Some wisdom that I live by is this. I make an effort to never say something about someone that I wouldn't want them to hear from my own lips. That served me well. Maybe it might serve you well as well. We guard our heart by guarding our speech. We guard our heart by also guarding our eyes and our thoughts. Verses 25 and 26 talk about these things. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. And then give careful thought to the paths for your feet. Be steadfast in all your ways. We need to guard our eyes. We need to watch what we watch. When I worked with the Christian Union a number of years ago, I was meeting with young men on campus. And many of them would watch raunchy TV shows like Game of Thrones. And then I was surprised why they struggled with lust and acting purely towards their relationships. Watch what you watch, watch what you listen to, because what we consume is cultivated and created in us over time, often without us realizing it. Proverbs verse 26 in this chapter says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet. We guard our hearts by giving careful thought to the triggers and the temptations which we are vulnerable against. Because so often these can act a bit like an on-ramp that quickly leads us into the motorway of sin, whatever that addictive behavior might be. So how about instead we guard our hearts by choosing to fill our lives, both what we see, what we receive, what we think about, with wholesome things that will bring glory and honor to God. Well, finally, we guard our heart by guarding our actions. Verse 27. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Now, having given thought to our ways in the verse before, Proverbs 4 concludes by saying, now follow the right path. Now make sure your actions are actually doing what you've committed to. A few weeks ago, Emily and I, we had our wedding anniversary. Ah, yeah. And the following morning, this is what we do. We tend to kind of each alternate year, we organise a sort of a surprise thing. So it was my turn to organise this time. And so the following morning, we headed out for a surprise experience, which I booked. Feel free to chat to us afterwards about what it was. Now, a few days prior to this, I got an email from the organisers, and it said, if you are driving here from Melbourne, do not use your GPS to navigate here. It can often direct you through a river crossing, which may result in a detour which can take an extra 40 minutes. You are therefore better to navigate to Werribee first and then follow these instructions. And then it listed how to get there. When it comes to living God's way, Proverbs 4 as a whole, including the section before that we didn't have in our reading, it says that by ourselves, we don't have all the answers. We need to follow the advice of someone who knows the way to get there, rather than the voices of those who think they know, even if that comes in the voice of a GPS. God's word gives us the directions for our life. And godly wisdom from our brothers and sisters here at church is also vital for helping us live out what we believe. I'm so thankful for our culture here at St. Alfred's, both here in the morning and in the evening service, for this very reason. We've got a culture of mentoring. We recognize actually that we are not islands and we need one another to flourish in life. It shows that we value the importance of passing on wisdom to the next generation or people in a different stage of life to us. Passing on to our friends, passing on to our co-workers. We are embodying what Proverbs 4 is saying. Listen to my wisdom. And as we finish, I can imagine that for some of us, guarding our hearts sounds really hard or really painful. Perhaps you have failed in some of these ways. Maybe you feel stuck in bad patterns of behavior and you just can't feel like you can break free from them. I want you to know that you are not alone. You are not alone. I want you to know that God knows your heart and he loves you the same. In fact, he loves you enough that he has done something about the brokenness, about the evil, about the sin in your heart. In sending Jesus to live the pure-hearted life that we could never live. In Jesus dying the death that our hearts deserve. And in rising to new life, he offers new life. God has made the first move in healing and restoring your heart. He offers you forgiveness. Purification, wiping it clean. He offers forgiveness in Jesus. And Jesus is also what continues to sustain us in our life of following him. Jesus gives us the Spirit to come and live in our hearts, which is God with us, being a voice of his loving presence, guiding us every step of our life. And so if you are feeling weak or overwhelmed or anxious, the great news of the gospel is that God himself can guard your heart even when you don't have the strength to do it yourself. Philippians 4 says these wonderful words. Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will," what? "Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." As you think about your life, who you are, and maybe where you think you might be going, are you feeling worry about what you've said to others? Are you feeling shame about what you watch, what you have watched in the past? Are you anxious about your thoughts and your desires? Are you regretful for your actions in the past that have hurt others or have not honored God? Well, in this passage, God is saying to you, talk to me. Talk to me. Bring those things that are weighing on your heart to me. My peace can guard your heart in Christ Jesus. I want to help you guard your heart. And because of what Jesus has done for you, I want you to know that I can and that I will help you in your time of need. So shall I pray for us? Psalm 139, ends with a prayer, and we want that to be our prayer today. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As we bring the many concerns and hopes and failures of our hearts to you, Father, both now and throughout the week, may your peace, which transcends all understanding, may it guard our hearts and our minds in our loving Saviour, Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.